Hello! You are listening to The Dungeon Boys, a group of seven friends telling a story, Dungeons and Dragons style, with a little bit of homebrew science fiction sprinkled on top. This podcast is rated M for mature-ish because we say fucked up shit all the time, like I just did. So yeah, if you're not a mature person or under the age of 18, you can fuck right off.
What's up, you cool babies?
You're not cool. You're children. Fuck
you.
Fuck them kids.
Fuck them kids.
I don't want to grow up to be like Grant anymore.
Fuck them kids.
Fuck them kids.
Now let's go ahead and introduce the boys. Boys, your prompt today is, how does your character feel about destiny or fate?
Hi guys, this is Ellie. I play Pants on Stardust Echoes. Pants, the way Pants thinks about... I think he fully believes in destiny is made, or you make your own destiny, which is his whole thing, since this is his first adventure on his own, so he's trying to shape his own destiny. Fate, I don't know. I don't know if he knows enough about the world to have any idea of fate. Oh yeah, Pants is also an artificer kobold, but if you've been listening to the podcast, you might know that.
Hey y'all, it is Arland, your winged tiefling sorlock, Valen, here to talk about fate and destiny. I don't think Valen believes in any of it, just for the simple fact that he doesn't like to think of the idea, he doesn't like to have the idea of like not having free will, and that kind of like gets in the way of that, like knowing that like, oh, if I do this then that'll happen and this is gonna happen, that's why this happened. It's like, no, it's all just kind of chaos, like whatever happens happens. Nothing was really meant to be, it just happens.
It's all coincidence.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between? It is your boy Grant and I play your golden dragonborn barbarian Kathtal Tarash. As far as Tarash goes with destiny and fate, I would have to say it's the complete opposite of what Valen is. He has to say that he, as especially being up as far as, you know, in a warrior kind of mentality, you know, everyone has their destiny of like being set, but it's kind of like you have this destiny to be this person, but if it is your fate to fall short of reaching that, then that is your true fate and your true destiny.
Damn.
Destiny.
That's pretty cool.
Also, kind of sad, but it makes sense.
Yes.
Hi friends, it's me, Lindsay, of Plane 6, your tabaxi rogue, and I think our sweet gothic death and dying baby has been a little disenchanted by destiny and fate just because she knows she's just gonna die and come back again. But I think a little tiny secret part of her holds out for possible true love. And I also think there's a tiny part of her. I think there's also a... Ellie can't handle it.
True love.
I think there's also a teeny tiny part of her that is mildly terrified of what's gonna happen when she runs out of her last life.
I would watch that sitcom of Six, the tabaxi rogue, falling in love with her one true love.
When are we going to start upping that up?
Yeah.
Can't force it. You can't force true love.
Can't force it.
They have to be in peril. It's got to be a peril kiss.
They're just going to keep it platonic, honestly.
Oh my God.
Nice handshake.
Yeah. I mean, as Arland has pointed out, it's been like 4 days.
That's a very valid point.
A lot of peril, though.
Hey, there's things as love and first sight, you know? You know, Grayson could have just took one look at that tabaxi and like, oh my God, I'm super scared of her, but she's also very sexy, so love at first sight. You don't know
also,
it.
Also, canonically not first sight. Canonically like the third time they've met each other throughout the course of their lives.
Yes.
We love a good furry.
But for the sake of the 4 days.
And it is your fate to be together.
Bahamut be praised.
Hey everyone, I'm Anthony. I play Grayson Cato in the Dungeon Boys first campaign, Stardust Echoes. Grayson thinks that fate is like wet clay. It is malleable and can be reshaped.
Hey everyone, I'm Dylan. I play Temple, the Warforged Monk on Stardust Echoes. Temple believes in cause and effect, does not believe in predetermination. Any cause in the past can be altered by causes today to change effects tomorrow.
And my name is Justine. I will be your dungeon daddy or master for this campaign.
Ow!
And
woo-hoo.
With that, the Dungeon Boys proudly present Stardust Echoes. Last episode, the team, with the help of Kite and the somewhat help of Nyx Pips, were able to finally get into the storage unit that they had been looking for so long. The storage unit held not one, but three pieces of the cannon, which made them so much closer to their goal of completing the cannon, closing the wormhole, and resisting the council's future destruction. However, when they did discover these pieces, Kite found one of the last remaining pieces of the proof of the destruction of the Feywild. Images flashed before their eyes as they saw an entire star system and civilization and different realm be blinked out from existence from the Council's greed and cruelty to obtain magic that wasn't theirs and technology that they would use. Amongst this sad revelation, they realized that their very own Terowin had also seen this vision and was unable to control her magic and happened to destroy part of the Kato estate. Now, with more pieces of the cannon, but more problems than they know what to do with, the team makes their way to Moss. So, tensions are high. Emotions are extremely high. You've just said goodbye to Kites. Torash has a new companion.
Woo.
You just learned the destruction of the Feywild. Fucking got three pieces of the cannon, not one. So you should have...
five in total now?
Five in total of the eight.
Mm. So the bulkhead connector, the tracker, the two pieces.
Nicaea's thing.
The key.
The key, yeah.
Yeah.
So then we need the scope, the base... and then, what was that, 8 piece?
My dick.
The power source?
Oh, the power source, that's right.
That's the one that's, like, missing.
Yeah, that's the one that with the Tabaxi that we gotta find.
So, Six and Pants just flew in with Strogi. The ships met. Kite took off. The two ships went off after her. And you hear, bzz, 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 bzz. You're being hailed.
Torash, put it up on the screen.
All right. Torch puts it up on the screen.
It's Strogi. All right, it looks like they're chasing her. It was a pleasure seeing you all again. It seems like fate is gonna have our paths intertwine, hopefully another time. But Pants, you remember the advice I give you, and Six, don't kill too many people. But I'll catch y'all later. I'm gonna go make sure that those folks get off your tail. But you need to get the fuck out of here.
Okay, thanks, Strogi.
Bye, Strogi.
Bye, Strogi.
Love you, Strogi.
Appreciate your help, as always.
And then Strogi's ship kind of puts around and takes off. And you're all left after such an intense last couple of hours in silence together. And your ship is starting to move on its own. Torash kind of looks, and Jagalda is back, which most of you haven't seen her. And she's on her pad, nails clicking away as she's taking the ship away.
I feel like we all crowd around and say, ah, Jagalda!
Jagalda!
You're back!
Yeah, Valen's gonna walk over just to make sure that Jagalda's okay.
Torash is gonna set the stealth capabilities on the ship and activate it.
Mm-hmm.
Pants and I are here too, guys. Hey.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm like, yeah, but Jagalda was like dying, so I just want to make sure she's okay.
Yeah, but she's fine now. So what have you guys been up to?
robbing some people, getting some parts for the cannon, the usual.
Yeah, there were a few more parts in Nyx's storage than we thought, so we're kind of closer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Looks like we just need 3 pieces left.
And also this, and you see Torash point up to his horns, and you see a small pinkish octopus that has like all like steampunk kind of gears and clicking and everything, and it's just sitting on like just kind of like spread, kind of like wrapped around my horns.
Oh, I love it.
What?
Oh god, what is that?
That is was Kite's friend.
Who's Kite?
Nova Kite. You know what?
No, Nova Kite. You remember Nova Kite?
The Genasi? The Genasi we were with.
Old rock eyes.
She owns the Wonderporium.
Oh, right. Where?
She's the one that got real big, real fast.
The giant woman.
Real big, real fast. No, doesn't ring a bell.
What?
Answer's being a sassy asshole.
The one that has the rock eyes that looks like rocks in the eyes.
The one who could never replace you, Pants.
That's what I wanted to hear.
All right.
Do you remember her now?
Yes.
There was also something that we saw. It was the firsthand account of the destruction of the Feywild. That was a pretty big event that you may have missed.
Yeah, that happened too.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not the
minor details.
No.
Come again? Destruction?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we looked through Novakite's eyes and we saw the destruction of the Feywild. It's an entire plane that is no longer there.
I guess, like, the council thousands of years ago used the cannon and the wormhole and destroyed the Feywild, and Novakite is, like, the physical embodiment of the, metaphysical manifestation of what remains of the Feywild.
Huh.
It's a whole thing. We don't need to get into it.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
I think perhaps we do.
Really high concept sci-fi stuff that if you think too much about it doesn't really make sense. So if we just accept that at face level and move on, that's going to be the best case for all of
okay,
us.
Okay, okay.
Got it.
Sorry.
Interesting.
Okay, so she really doesn't, she really wasn't that important anyways. So anyway, can I, hold the pink goopy thing, please?
Yeah.
That's the important thing. The important part of this that you should know, Pants, is that we have a new little baby octopus.
Yes, can I hold it, please, Torash? Please, can I hold it?
Very.
While they're snuggling.
You need to be very, very careful. So yes. Torash, like, puts his hands up and has elusive. Like, crawls up onto his hand, and he literally just kind of, like, puts it out to Pants, and then you see Elusive just kind of like clicking and whirring. She's got a lot of like kind of like steampunky kind of like gears and other stuff on her.
Yeah, I don't do tentacles. So keep that thing very far from me.
Oh, come on, Six. She's so cute. Look at her.
Mm-mm. But I feel like, speaking of the cannon, there's something we're supposed to tell you guys.
Yeah, what did you guys get all to?
Did you have an eventful day too?
Did you see another plane of existence get destroyed by the cannon through somebody else's memories? Who was also the metaphysical manifestation of the remnants of that plane of existence made sentient?
You know, not quite that fun of a day, but,
yeah.
It's on the tip of the tongue, teeth in the lips.
Well, you know, if you can't remember it, it can't be that important.
Pants, do you remember?
What? I'm sorry, I'm just
cannon.
Like... Oh,
we
right.
Apparently had an acid trip and a stroke at the same time.
Yeah.
And now can't remember.
Yeah, well, that tracks for this group.
Yeah, it is something about the nautical, the nautical vault.
Torash's race?
Baltimore Nautical.
That.
Okay.
The race.
Yeah, yes.
The prize.
Oh, yeah.
It's a piece of the cannon.
Right.
What?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Minor detail.
Wait.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. Okay.
Do you know what part it was?
Pants might.
It was the scope. Yeah. It's probably pretty important.
Yeah, I mean.
Right. Yeah.
Probably.
Hmm.
When is that again? When is that?
4 months from now.
4 weeks? No?
4 weeks?
I think it's in 4 days.
Days?
Hours? Hours?
Oh shit, it's tomorrow.
Oh no, it's right now.
Oh, then we've got plenty of time.
Pants, time is a flat circle. It has happened, it is happening, and it will happen.
Temple gives Grayson a big hug. You've come so far in your journey.
So we don't... Do we actually know the date of this race? Because we should probably, like, get that.
Is it 4 days? I thought it was 4 weeks.
It is 4 days from now.
Oh, my God.
It was supposed to be 4 weeks
ago. They moved it up.
We have places to be.
Yeah.
Did they notify you, Torash?
No, I mean, not that I know.
Check your email, Torash.
Well, that's a problem for us for 4 days from now. We do actually need to go back to Moss. It sounds like Tarawin blew up half of my home.
I always had a bad feeling about her.
Grand total of 30 minutes ago or so.
Yeah, so we should go home so I can figure out what's going on and remove Tarawin from my house.
Jigalda, can you set course for the Cato residence, please?
Jigalda looks at you and just silently nods, and then the ship kind of starts turning, and a projection of a timer comes up that says 18 hours. So you will be at the Cato Estate in 18 hours.
All right. I can't wait to have more of those finger sandwiches. Yeah. The muffins bomb. What part of the house got blown up? Hopefully not the kitchen.
I need to make a call. Calls the Cato Estate. The Cato Estate with the fucking comms on the ship.
Actually calls the Cato Estate. The Cato. And they're like, oh, sorry.
Grito.
Cato
Estate. Grito.
The Cato Estate shot first.
It's like the flu powder in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Diagonally. Oops.
Hello?
This is Grayson Cato. Who is this?
Grayson, it's Leon.
Leon, what happened? We got messages. Part of the estate exploded?
Yes, I don't really have time to talk about it.
I'm on my way back.
Where are you?
Just leaving Tenebris. We're 18 hours out.
Calliope is gone with Mom. They're controlling PR. Dad is with Adriana, and they're setting up the remembrance ceremony. No one knows where the fuck Jericho is. I'm assuming you don't.
No.
Willow's on her way back, and Lorelai and Hela are with Tarawin. We will need to chat about that.
Right. Is Tarawin alive?
She's avoiding us at all costs, but yes.
Well, regardless, it sounds like she needs to be relocated somewhere else.
I am assuming you have a plan, little brother.
Well, I have 18 hours to come up with one. See you soon. And then Grayson just hangs up.
Leon's not a dick. He's just stressed out.
For sure.
Yeah.
Totally understandable.
Also, Grayson, are you so proud I brought your whole family into
that? I am. Yeah. Yeah. Good job.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Who the Hell fuck yeah. is Hela?
One of my sisters.
Why?
Why?
Why did you give her that name?
Sounds awesome.
I don't know.
Hela.
That's some Greek stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Hela.
That's some Greek stuff.
No, that's some NorCal ass shit.
Hela.
It's one L, not two L's. It's one L.
One L.
Not Hela.
Okay.
Torash is going to pull out one of the Robo-Stones and try and see if he can communicate with Tarawin. He's going to click it on.
You're way too out of range.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, at least he tried. He didn't know. He's not smart enough.
Oh, I just envision him, like, in the back corner, just...
Ron Weasley-ing, listening to the radio.
Just, like, looking at his little sending stone and, like, turns it on. And then just... His little ears go back, and he's just a sad little dragon, and then he turns it off.
So Pants is still playing with, what's the little octopus's name?
Elusive.
Elusive.
Elusive. Is still playing with Elusive, and he's going like, Elusive, you're so cute. Can I take a little sample of one of your tentacles? Would you let me have one of your little tentacles?
Have one of his tentacles?
Elusive, this is your moment, Pants, to know that Elusive can understand you.
Yeah.
And a small pink tentacle retracts, and the big, cute anime eyes of this creature look at Torash like, what the fuck?
Please take me back.
Hey, Torash, can I borrow one of your octopus's tentacles?
No, absolutely not.
I imagine it, like, squirts ink, and then it's like, oh, that'll do.
Pants goes, oh, okay, thank you, that'll work. And he, like scrapes off the ink off of his, like, little snout and puts it into a little vial.
And Taurus will just put his hand out for Lucid to come back.
Suction cuppy arms grab you.
And then Pants directs Fidget to take a quick scan of the octopus.
Fuck.
Pants is like, and he looks at it and he's like, huh, very interesting. I've never seen vitals and armor like this before.
You would see Pants also, when Fidget does this, that Elusive is a very rare species that comes from the planet Gozi-IO.
Mm. Gozi-IO. Has anybody ever heard of Gozi-IO?
You mean Gozio?
Some people call it Gozio, sure.
Anybody? Anybody?
Wait, that's that one that's just all water, right?
Yeah, it's the water world.
Yeah, not my favorite.
Oh, yeah, water world.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, I killed a man underwater there once.
No kidding.
I had to see a man about a fish at one point, but, you know, just...
All right, I'll just file that away.
It makes sense that Elusive would be from there, but, yeah, I would prefer to not go.
I watched a fisherman get drowned over there. It was very strange because I had to take him above the water line and, like, hold him above the water.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, wow.
This is a lot to take in.
Wow. You can't drown a fish underwater is what I'm
saying. You've all done weird things on Gozi.
I didn't do the murder. I just saw the murder.
It was Six murdering somebody by holding him in the ground above water.
Six. That was one of the three times you've seen each other.
I held a fish man above water there once.
And Grayson just happened to see it.
Yeah.
Pants looks over at Torash as innocently as he possibly can say this. He goes, so why would Kite give this to you, Torash?
You know, Pants, that's genuinely a good question.
Because...
I don't know why.
Because I think that... never mind. I'm not going to say this.
Right? Well, you're interrupted, Pants, because this small, beautiful little octopus inks again. But when it inks, the black kind of starts to sink into the clothing, like part of Torash's shawl, and it says, my choice.
Pants is like, oh. Completely speechless.
Awesome.
It can talk?
Ish.
That's remarkable.
She is very, very bright creature.
She got it. Sorry.
A tentacle kind of brushes your scaly cheek, Torash, and it's like...
Oh, my God.
It's kind of real gross.
No, it's good. I like it.
Valen hands Torash a handkerchief to wipe the ink off his jacket.
Oh, thanks, Arlo.
I said Valen!
Thank you, Valen. All right, we've got 18 hours to get back to Moss, so I'm pretty tired, so I'm going to hit the sack. If you guys need me, I will be at the bunks at the back.
Rest well, Torash.
Okay, so Torash and Valen go to bed. Grayson and Six are kind of near the front of the ship by themselves with Jigalda, and Pants and Temple are in, like, the back towards the engine room.
Pants, I'm pretty worse for wear. Do you think that you could patch me up?
Sure. What's your damage?
Temple tilts his head back so that Pants can see sort of the situation. And Grayson did a good job of patching me up, but I think I need a more permanent fix. Do you think you could help me?
Pants gets like a little step stool and like puts it there and like looks up and peers into his throat. And he's like, what the fuck? Who the fuck did this?
Another Warforged.
Another Warforge? No, I don't care how it happened. Who tried to fix you? This is terrible.
Grayson did a good job. I couldn't speak, and now I'm able to, but...
Yeah, but barely. My God.
Damn the shade.
So, Pants gets to work. He, like, sorry, Temple, but you're not going to be able to speak here for, like... 2 hours probably as I try to fix this gunky mess that's been created.
Before you take my voice away, how are you feel?
And Chance is like, boop. He's like, he like looks at the voice box and he goes, sorry,
sorry. And he starts tinkering with it. He's like mumbling under his breath. He's like, I gotta get Grayson a fucking toolkit or something. Just take away all the tape. Fucking Jesus, what the fuck? I'm gonna talk to him later
about
this.
Ain't nothing that bubblegum and duct tape can't fix. It ties in Velcro.
Yeehaw! Can I infer how Pants is doing? Like, were you injured or anything? Can I maybe, I don't know if I need to roll insight for this, but...
You know Pants well enough, I think, that you'd be able to just tell.
So what's your HP at?
My HP? I'm, like, full.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Yeah.
Temple is going to just sit his head back and just kind of go into sort of sentry mode while standing there, entering the long rest.
Not creepy at all.
Pants? While you're fixing him, are you wanting to roll one of your D12s to tinker with him, or are we just fixing him?
Like, to, like, when he's in sentry mode, I can, like, go and fuck with him kind of idea, or, like, what?
Well, remember, you have the option to roll a D12, and some of them have great things, like he got the night vision, and some of them do not.
Yeah, let's do it.
Fucking cool.
Okay.
Fucking sender, dude.
D12.
Ship it. Oh, boy. Oh, man. I'm nervous. I'm so scared.
10.
Be kind, Justine. Be kind.
The dice have a story.
Fudge it. Fudge the roll. Fudge it. Give me power armor or something.
Why do you guys always roll the good ones? Yeah. The bad ones.
Unibeam. He got a unibeam.
You now have the ability to cast confusion.
Sweet.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
How would you like to do that?
I gotta figure out how to make that work.
Would it be like...
I'm just the DM.
I got it. You just really quickly spout out a bunch of just like mumbo, like meditation mumbo jumbo fucking like fortune cookie bullshit, and it just confounds the people you're
like,
talking
like,
to.
Like you ask a bunch of philosophical questions.
Yeah.
Actually, that's like, what if you were in your meditation and then I like put an I would just wanted to test and like put like an amplification like sonar thing on you. And so like you had this like weird premonition in your meditation dream and you're just like, and then you say it and it goes and you like confuse somebody.
You just gave me Conqueror's Hockey.
Yeah. 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 It's exactly what the fuck it is.
You just gave me fucking Conqueror's Hockey from One Piece.
Oh yeah.
Where I just like, pulse out and just and people just fall over. Oh my god.
So do you want that to come out of your mouth or your like hands or your eyeballs? Just like radiation.
Just from him. Yeah.
Just like speaker. Okay. So that will be good because then it'll fuck with your voice box.
Awesome.
So that'll like mess with your voice box and then be like, oh, and I added a little feature that can only be used once.
Once per long rest.
This is Christmas. Thank you.
So I said that it was going to take 2 hours, so, to do the voice box. If that matches up, Justine.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Hell yeah.
Thank you. You only get to use it once.
Yep.
Per day?
Once per long rest, right?
No, ever.
Just once.
Once ever?
Once ever?
I just had, like, one little crystal that was like, this will give, I want to see what happens.
You fudged it the wrong way, Justine. You nerfed me.
Wait, what do I have that could... I want to use something. I have a bunch of mushrooms. Ooh, what if I use the ink from Elusive and I like coat it with, I don't know. You think Elusive would have those cool little, oh, I have a yellow purple spot frog. I have bullywog slime, a chunk of transformed werewolf frog flesh, a small amount of octopus ink from Elusive, a yellow purple spotted frog. A floating coaster.
You putting this shit in formaldehyde?
You are a concerning character.
Ooh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, okay. I think I got all the parts to make this work. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Oh my god.
Okay, so you guys are in the back doing that. In the front. Grayson, you feel a warm weight on your shoulder. As Azeron kind of stretches his long, heavy body on your shoulders... and then rubs his face against your face, and you feel a very big sense of warmth, and then a little bit of smoke comes out of his mouth.
I absentmindedly give him some scritches.
Yeah, he rubs into those like a kitty.
Little baby. Yeah, Grayson's gonna go try to take a long rest.
Six, you see Grayson walking by.
Ugh. She's sharpening her knives and smoking. she reluctantly, even though she doesn't really want to, she says, how are you holding up, Grayson?
I'm fine. And he just doesn't even look at her and just keeps walking past to his room.
Ooh, cold shoulder.
She kind of goes, oh,
the sexual tension.
Almost had a heart to heart.
Almost connected with another.
A little sigh of relief there. Didn't have to talk to him.
Do you go to bed sick? So you're going to take a rest too?
Yeah. She's just like fucking around doing hot girl shit, just like smoking and sharpening her knives and polishing her leather.
She is the ITGIRL.
ITGIRL.
she'll go to bed soon here.
Okay.
Night night.
I'm gonna put you across from Grayson because I think it's fun.
So every time they wake up, if they ever wake up at the same time, they're like facing each other.
The doors open at the same time.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
So 2 hours goes by, and Temple, you kind of slam your head forward and everything feels in place, and you feel this imbued magic within you, and Pants is giggling watching you.
How do you,
Pants?
How do you feel, Temple? All better? Less gummy and tapey?
What did you do? I do feel better, thank you. What did you do?
Do you want to know, or do you want it to be a surprise?
It's better to know.
Okay, well, so I had a couple of parts from different things, and I just wanted to test a theory, so now you can, be magical, and when you may be, like, in a state of panic, or you don't like being in a crowd or something, you know, like those feelings that some people have, me, you can just, like say something or yell something or like chant. I know you like to chant, Temple.
I do love to chant.
Yeah. And you can like just fucking like confuse the shit out of people. But you can only do it once. So.
Oh, okay.
Make it count. And make sure that I'm there so that I can record it, because this is practice. This is a theory and a test. So.
Okay. Well, I get the impression that I confuse people a lot. So I do that magically now? Okay.
Right, so that's why you're the perfect test subject for this, so you're welcome.
Yeah, makes sense. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, use it wisely. And while I'm there, don't use it when I'm not there. Promise?
Okay, I promise.
Hopefully that doesn't backfire on me.
Did you rest up?
Not really.
Hmm.
I'm pretty awake. Fidget, like, gave me some coffee.
I'm assuming during your rest, just above the table, I'm assuming while I was out, you were probably also working on Fidget, so how big is Fidget now?
I have been really neglecting Fidget, and he is a sore spot between me and him, so we, you know, sorry, buddy. And he goes like, fuck you, Pants.
But how big is Fidget now? He's bigger than you, right?
No, he's the same size. He's like, wait, Pants is like 2 feet tall, right? He's not really
I think he's a little bit bigger than you.
He's about like Inferna's size, I think. Inferna's not super big, right?
Oh, wow. Inferna's big. She's like, she's getting like Irish wolfhound size.
Oh.
I think that probably tracks for your mecha suit.
Yeah.
So Fidget is now bigger than you, Pants.
Yeah, well, just a little bit, yeah.
Okay, he's like 3 feet and you're 2 feet. Got it.
He's now like the upper half of my body. Because like at first he was like a cape, you know, with like the wings. And now he's just like the upper part. He like forms around and makes the upper part of like the Iron Man suit.
Pants, do you go back to your crates then after the combo?
Sure, yeah.
What about you, Temple?
Oh yeah, Temple was going to walk up to the front to engage with Chigalda.
We'll go up at the same time so I can be there to...
Oh, yeah, and on as he's, like, walking past or walking next to Fidget, he's going to, like, stroke Fidget's, like, metallic scale, like, feathers.
Hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you approach and you see Jigalda on her little charging pad / control panel that's shaped like a kitty bed.
Temple's going to sit in Lotus next to her.
Yeah, she does not look towards you at all. She just looks out into the void of space.
You seem quiet.
Sharp silver head looks towards you, and yellow cat eyes blink.
Blink twice if I can pet your head.
She stares at you.
Understood. And he just sits next to her quietly.
Okay, so everyone's in their respective sleeping areas. You're going into sentry mode, Temple.
Could I sneak in like a sneaky insight check on Jigalda?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's 23.
Noise.
She is not okay, but seems completely functional. But the emotional connection that you've always had with her seems gone.
Okay.
Okay, so as you all go to your respective quarters after a long day of mental and physical exhaustion, learning that what you've been doing, the quest you've been on, has been correct, since now you've seen the destruction the council causes, we go to Valen, sitting awake in his room.
Okay, Val went straight to his room just to kind of decompress while everybody's doing all that, everything's going on. I think he's still pretty conflicted just in general with Lilith and Tarith and the whole, like, him trying to do better but still being partially connected to Lilith. He kind of, to his surprise, I think, opens his pack and he sees something in there. He's like, wait, I don't remember. Like, what is this? And he pulls out a cloak that he looks at it and he's like, what the hell? Like, when did I get this? And he realizes, oh, I remember seeing this in Nyx's storage. And he's like, when did I grab this? Like, I don't remember grabbing this, like, but it's in his bag.
Roll Arcana.
I'm terrified.
Okay. It's a 14 plus 5, 19.
You realize this cloak is made of dragon scales.
What?
Cool.
Of the dragons that were slain on V7.
Not cool.
During the 300-year war.
Not cool.
Well, how does he know that?
Because he rolled a high Arcana.
He's our archaeologist.
Oh, I forget about that. About Valen.
Nothing like this has ever been seen or heard of. No one knew this has been made. You realize that when you wear this, you'll get a +4 stealth.
Ooh.
A +2 acrobatics.
What?
And are immune to dragon fire.
Oh, shit.
But there seems to be some kind of spell or curse upon this that you can't really identify.
Can I cast Identify?
You can.
Okay, I'm going to cast that. So, I choose an object, and I touch it through casting this spell. It's a ritual spell, so it won't really cost it to me anything. And then it'll tell me if it's a magic item, which I know, and if it's imbued with magic, I learn its properties, how to use them, whether it needs attunement, how many charges, if any. I also learn any spells that are affecting the item, what they are, and if the item was created by a spell, you learn which spell created it.
It has a spell upon it that can be viewed as a gift or a curse. After every long rest, you will need to roll a D100. If you fail the roll, the personality of one of the dragons slain will come out within the cloak.
Don't wear it. Put that on a shelf and leave that for another day.
Wait, I have a question. So is it like a multicolored scale cloak then?
Yes.
And so he's just immune to fire, or is he immune to all chromatic dragon breath weapons?
Not even fire. It's just breath weapons for dragons.
Okay. Damn. That's really good, though.
Yeah, that's fucking
so wait, so when it says the personality comes out, does that mean that it becomes a part of me and my personality, or?
No.
It's like a Doctor Strange cloak.
It's going to be like, it'd be like, imagine having something sitting on your shoulder talking to you.
Why are you hurt yourself so, Valen?
It's a sentient magic item, and all the dragons have different personalities, and some will probably buy for control of you. It's like, there's
amazing.
Craven Edge that Grog had in Critical Role, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so as I look at this, Valen's like kind of weighing heavily. He's like, well, I can't give this to Lilith. So what he's going to do is the next, so we're at 18 hours, right? You said we have?
Yeah.
So before he takes his long rest, Valen's going to go ahead and kind of weave it into his coat this jacket he has now.
Like, you're gonna sew it onto the onto your jacket?
Put it together. So I want to kind of gather materials through our replicator, because we have a replicator on our ship, right?
Yeah, we sure do.
Because I kind of want to gather the items necessary. So I kind of like leave it in my room. I go out, go to the replicator, replicate like anything that I need to actually stitch it into my coat, like to make it to kind of fashion my current jacket into more of a trench coat.
As you go to start this process, the needle breaks against the scales.
Oh shit!
Okay, so it has to. So I can't just like weave it in.
You could wear it underneath it.
Well. Then okay, yeah, so we'll say this then. So what'll happen is Valen will, because I don't think he wants anyone to know he has it.
Mm-hmm.
Just yet. So what he's gonna do, I think he's gonna, he has like trench coats, like different jackets, so he's like also trying like to like look at them like, on a hanger and see which ones he can kind of put on to where the coat hangs over and you can't see the actual scales. And they'll kind of wear it inside out as well, just to kind of have it, like, try to keep it hidden as best they can.
Would there be something that would there be a tool that would make it so he could put it into his coat?
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, if an artificer kobold had the spell or the thing, the right tool for the job?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what would work.
I think at this point, I think Valen would eventually ask Pants, but right now he just wants to kind of... Keep it close to his chest a little bit.
Sneaky boy.
And then before Valen takes his rest, he's going to try it on to make sure it looks good.
So you put it on.
Ugh.
You start the attunement process. You feel the waves of magic as you're tuning to this and kind of fixing your other pieces. And all of a sudden, everything goes black. And you have passed out.
Oh, shit.
Roll a D100 for me.
That's a 24.
You will not know the result of that roll until you wake up. So you all sleep, or sentry mode, or whatever the fuck you do.
Or pass out in your own drool like Arlen did.
I need everyone to roll perception with disadvantage.
Hell yeah.
We got those boys, those little baby boys.
Got that dog in me. Grayson rolls a 26.
23.
Ooh.
God damn it. This is about to get really intense.
Toresh's first roll was a 10. His second roll was a natural 20, but obviously with the disadvantage.
I'm sorry, that 10. Natural 20 there, Grant, had to get flushed down the toilet.
Hey, Grant, can we just appreciate that when you roll a natural 20 on perception, it's still not as high as me rolling a 17 on perception?
Yeah, shut up.
That's pretty cool.
I'm a cool guy, look at me.
Pants rolled a 5.
Temple and Grayson.
Oh boy.
Temple, you kind of come out of sentry mode and feel Jagalda's paw on your shoulder.
Hello.
She looks at you and blinks, her tail coming to her lips like a shh.
Ooh.
And then looks out down the corridor that lead to these separate alcoves where you all sleep.
Temple follows her look.
Slowly turn your head and you see Valen.
Ah!
Just walking down the hallway and opening the room of one of the other doors.
Which one?
It closes. Grayson.
Yep.
You awake.
Yep.
To shuffling in your bag. And as you open your eyes and look, you see Valen reaching in and pulling out the deck of many things.
No, that's mine. No.
I Eldritch blast him.
Don't blast him.
Blast him.
Yeah. Just tackle him. Yeah, Fidget was in sentry mode and can't be surprised, so.
Correct, but this would not have been a surprise because Fidget is already aware of Valen, mm-hmm. and Valen's allowed to walk around the ship.
Oh, okay.
If it had been an outside intruder, I would have given you that. Dylan, as Temple, I'm going to give you about 6 seconds to do anything you'd like to do, whether it's get up, talk to Jagalda, wake up Pants, before you hear the Eldritch Blast. So what would you like to do within Temple's 6 seconds?
Temple is alarmed that Jagalda, who hadn't been emoting, is suddenly telling him to be careful and be quiet.
In that brief moment of him opening the door, can I roll insight?
Yes.
That's a nat 20 for 26.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You did not just see Valen walk through the door. You saw Lilith walk through the door.
Oh, shit.
Temple sees Lilith walk into one of the rooms. He takes his spear in hand and stands up.
Right then, you all wake up to the sound that you know is Grayson's magic. Grayson, describe, like, how, what do you do exactly?
I mean, I wake up, I see what looks to me like Valen pulling the deck of many things out of the bag, and without even, you know, a second thought, I just raise right hand, and the tattoo just glows like this, like, bright blood red, and then the energy just, and just fires off.
Yeah, and you see Valen whip up almost unnaturally fast, eyes green, and wave a hand, and your magic right before it gets to him goes away and counterspell, and the eyes are glowing green.
Grayson Kano, you think you're a match for me?
It's almost like an evil sneer on Valen's face that you've never seen.
Can I roll insight?
Yes.
That's terrible. 9.
You know that Valen is not Valen. That's all you know.
Something's wrong.
I'm going to say maybe I'm not, but I know someone who might be, and I'm going to try to ask Tarith for help.
Gasps.
It just got more complicated.
You feel kind of a presence in the corner of the room, but you notice that Valen doesn't react, and there's no voice that you hear, but you feel his presence.
And I just kind of look in the corner, I say, do you want to help?
The neck almost unnaturally bends and turns to look in the corner of Valen. And then at that moment, the eyes of Valen kind of come back. Valen, you are present. You have no idea how you got here.
Valen's like, Valen looks around. He goes, what the fuck? Where am I? Like, and I have the cloak on.
Give me the cards.
And then right then, Valen, you're back to green.
Oh. You want these?
That's fine. You're not part of this group. Whatever happens to you is just to you, not us. That's the rules of those cards.
And before she pulls it, I want everyone else to react to the blast you just heard. Yes. From Grayson's room.
Okay, Six is gonna shoot up, and she's gonna be like, God damn it, Pants, how many fucking times have I told you to not do your experiments while we're all sleeping?
Pants is like walking down the hallway and going, it wasn't me. God, I was trying to sleep. What the fuck?
Taurus is going to bust out of the room and just be, does anyone know where that noise came from? He's going to have his the scimitar in his hand.
Temple will speak up. It came from Grayson's room. I think it was Lilith.
Pants looks over at Temple and goes, what?
Move cautiously.
Fidget, get my crossbow.
Fuck!
And he gets my crossbow, and I run to Grayson's door.
So as the door swings open, we will go back. Lilith takes a card, and I'm going to pull a card.
Oh, my God.
Shuffle them up nice.
Oh, this is not good.
Do it.
This is not good.
Send it.
Lilith pulls a card. She gains 50,000 XP and a wondrous item.
What's the wondrous item?
That's a Justine problem.
Oh, shit.
So as she pulls the card, and then her hand opens. I'm gonna do a random wondrous item here.
Oh shit, ladies and gentlemen, shit's getting interesting.
You're gonna have to plot twist this character out of here, because holy god,
yeah.
There's no hope.
She summons the Amulet of Mighty Fists. And she looks and says,
this is my pet, and all of his magic items belong to me.
That deck isn't his.
Anything that's his is mine, and it's stolen from you quite easily.
Yeah, it seems a bit of a security problem on this ship. And Grayson puts his hand against the wall of his room that's facing the outside of the ship and casts Eldritch Blast to blast a hole in it into the void of space.
Roll it.
Fuck yeah, dude. Oh my god.
Ugh, 13.
Does not go through.
I get 2, though, so that's the first one.
Yep.
Ugh, come on, 14.
Does not go through.
Can I use my inspiration?
You can.
Oh, yes.
DC like 28 or yeah, some no. shit.
All right, this is bullshit. I'm done.
Natural one.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
So since it's a natural one, it reverberates off of you, the wall. I need you to take a damage from your own Eldritch Blast.
I'm just gonna shield.
Okay, cool.
So, and then Tareth didn't do anything?
You know, no one knows he's there yet except Grayson. So as Pants is in the doorway, Valen unnaturally fast, hand snaps back. Pants, roll a dexterity saving throw.
You're good at those, right? Hopefully.
13.
You see Valen grab Pants around the neck. Pants instantly starts sputtering from choking and lifts Pants off the ground and says,
Maybe this will be your lesson. When you're in grieving, you'll remember all magic items belong to me.
Can Pants cast a spell?
You're, like, choking, so if it's a verbal spell, no.
I don't think it is. Can he cast Branding Smite?
Like, against the hold?
No, can he cast Branding Smite and then stab at Valen with a shoulder? With an arrow?
I says, if it's verbal, then no.
It is verbal. I'm sorry.
Then instead...
So, don't worry, I promise you're not gonna die. Just
let
give
me
2 seconds.
Instead...
Okay.
I want to react. I know I can, right? I can react.
Yeah.
I have an action after this that I
want to
do.
Taurus wants to do something as well, too. I think we're doing...
Tareth is going to come into play.
Yeah, we're doing story stuff.
Just hold on.
I think we're all just on the Disneyland ride right now.
What's the cutscene?
Yeah, exactly.
I will let Pants react, though.
I have something.
It's like one of the... What is it? The interactive cutscenes, right? With
quick
the,
time events.
Yeah, quick time events. This is a quick time event.
Jam triangle.
Yeah.
Jason.
It's all right. All right, do your thing.
Okay. So as Pants is choking, a shadow that was in the corner steps out, and you see Tareth standing there, and he says,
"2 can play at this game."
And then all of a sudden, Grayson's head bows and then snaps up.
Oh, good.
And Tareth is now possessing Grayson's body.
It's a kaiju battle.
I was just thinking, like, what was that anime where the kids are on the shoulders of the mechs or whatever? It's like 80s yeah. anime. This is rad.
Yeah. Well, at some point, do Arland and I get a chance to make any kind of save against this?
You do.
Okay.
You do. I'm doing the 6 seconds in my head. I just...
Okay.
His was just about done.
Great.
So you all see Grayson's eyes are red and black, shimmering. And he stands up with a swagger you've not seen, kind of looking back and forth, and says,
Lilith, drop him.
Tareth, I should have known you were behind this.
And Pants... Torash, I'll give you a moment here.
Want to see that, and I just want to try and just fucking slam down. I don't want to try and like slice with the scimitar. I just want to just like unarmed strike on Valen's hand to break the grip on Pants.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question, God? Which hand is holding Pants?
Right.
Is it my left or right? You said I reached back, but you didn't specify which hand. I'm just curious to know.
Right.
Oh, right. Oh, I thought you were, like, agreeing with
correct.
Me. Correct. Yeah. like, you were, like, right. Like, yeah, that, I did say that. I was like, and, okay, cool. Just curious.
Roll Torash to hit.
Unarmed strike, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking bitch. The 10.
Yeah, you go, and literally, Lilith perfectly pulls Pants back and is just choking harder.
Oh, choking harder.
Harder, daddy. What?
Harder, daddy.
Man, I'm tired of being the damsel in distress.
I'm sorry, friends. Oh, actually, here's what I'll do. Okay. So as Torash goes to punch and Lilith pulls back, Fidget swoops underneath the door frame. Fuck! And drops the crossbow. Pants, roll dexterity saving to see if you can grab it. Actually, just roll dexterity.
4.
Oh, no.
It's natural 1.
Yeah, the crossbow clatters to your side.
Thanks for trying.
On the ground.
We are fucking rolling terribly.
Thanks for trying, friend.
But the story has never been better.
As it falls on the ground, Valen's boot slams down and the crossbow breaks into a bunch of pieces.
Okay, I didn't say I wanted to do this. This is so unfair.
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
You guys have a story to tell today.
Six, you're seeing Valen is possessed by Lilith. You just saw Torres try to get a choking pants out of his hand. Fidget tried to give the crossbow. It broke. Things are not going well. Is there anything you want to do? You have about 6 seconds.
God, man. And then can Pants roll like an arcana check to see what's going on with Valen? Since he's super close to him.
You can with disadvantage because you're literally dying.
Six wants to sling a dagger right at his hand to get the hand to release.
Roll a dagger.
Ooh, should I use Dagger of Darkness?
If you want to.
If you want to.
Oh, what? You guys really didn't respond with how much excitement I thought you would.
Fuck yeah, you said
Lindsay. Lindsay, go ahead. Blind all of us.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if she's going to use... She's just going to throw it. I don't think she's activating the darkness.
No. I just want the extra 2 points.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, then go ahead.
Yeah,
that's all I want. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Jesus, Anthony.
Listen.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, we're just going to just cast darkness all the fuck.
Six rolls a 16.
What's your AC?
13.
Yeah, the dagger perfectly in the wrist. Blood splats out. Roll a constitution saving throw. Valen, Pants, you are free. You drop your little kobold ass to the ground.
Woo!
That's a 16 plus 2 for my con save. So 18.
Valen, you look. There is pain, blood spurting out of your hand. You look down and see Pants grasping for air. And when you look up, you don't see Grayson. You see Tareth because you're so connected.
I'm gonna look at Tareth, kind of eyes just like in shock and like pleading almost. And just be like, get her out of me. You gotta do something.
And you all hear back from Grayson's voice.
Lilith, I know you're still there. This is not the Grand Arena. These are not your doors. And your end is coming.
Ooh.
With that, Valen, Lilith is back inside of you.
Jesus, fuck.
I just, because I'm still in my body, right?
Yeah, go ahead and roll your constitution saving throw, Grayson.
Well, I want to tell Tareth, or ask Tareth, give me control for 2 seconds. There's something I can do.
I'm going to roll to make Tareth's decision.
Okay.
I'm going to let the dice decide the story. I'm rolling a d6. If it's even, you get your body back. It's a 6. You get your body back for a couple seconds. All right.
I reach out. I grab Valen on his forehead, and I cast Protection from Good and Evil.
Oh.
So it's concentration on me for 10 minutes, but the protection grants several benefits. Creatures of the types listed above, aberrations, celestials, elementals, fae, fiends, and undead, have disadvantage on attack rolls against you. Now, Valen, you can't be charmed, frightened, or possessed by them. And if you are already charmed, frightened, or possessed by such a creature, you have advantage on any new saving throw against the relevant effect. And once you save, they can no longer possess you again while the spell is in effect.
Fuck yes.
Fuck
so
yes.
We will go to that moment. I really want to switch back to Pants.
Yeah.
Pants, you had rolled Arcana and Insight.
I was just, it's okay. The moment passed.
I'm sorry.
But I do want to have a moment where I have Fidget scan Valen after it's all over.
Okay, we'll get there. I will give you with your 21 insight, Pants, that you 100% can tell exactly what's going on now, that they're both being possessed, used, tooled as their thing, as their from their patron.
Okay.
Valen, you all see, it's almost like a heartbeat outside of his body. And Lilith draws out, it's a very smoky, ethereal thing, and she says,
"Well played, Tito."
Valen drops to the ground, and as he does, you all notice a shimmering cloak upon him of the dragon scale cloak. Lilith reaches down. You see the energy of the deck of many things suck out of the deck, and Lilith looks younger. She looks swollen with power. She is completely taking the magic item and its energy And then she says,
"Will I see you again, my love?"
And then Grayson, at that, Tareth is back inside of you. And he says,
"We always knew it would come to this. And love is what will be your end."
And then almost like Grayson's shadow gets darker, and then he comes to. Valen is collapsed on the floor unconscious. Tareth now stands all in front of you, and Lilith dissipates and disappears.
Well, that was quite the show.
Next time, warn a guy before you do that.
He's just staring at all of you, calculating in his eyes.
Did she take the magic from the cloak too, or did she just take...
Just the cards.
Okay.
Pants looks at Valen and is like very scared, but knows that Valen was possessed, and grabs the cloak that he sees, because he sees us as the only difference, and rips it off of Valen's body. And then he has Fidget scan it, and I'll cast Identify.
So you know what I knew basically about the item. So
yeah.
Tareth looks at Grayson and says,
"I should have done this before."
I think once, at least, that we're aware of, or twice. Valen, when we were on Terran 19, he went down in the caves, and the green energy kind of swirled him, and he came back. And I wasn't present for it, but I heard that he was fully possessed in a circus tent.
He looks at... His gaze snaps to Temple.
Temple matches his gaze. "Thank you for getting us out of this bind."
"How long was he possessed?"
"I think I was the first alerted." "Well, actually, no." Temple turns, looks down the hall. "Jigalda was the first to be alerted."
"I mean, in this circus tent."
"No more than 2 minutes."
Taurus wanted to pick up Valen and bring him back to his room that he was in and put him back in the cot.
"You will wait."
You feel Tareth's power kind of flood the room. You have Valen, and then Tareth comes forward and puts his hand upon Valen's head, and Valen...
"What?"
"You resisted well."
"It was different that time. Any other time it's happened, I've had zero control, but as of late, I feel like there's something pulling me away."
I'll put Valen down on his feet, but I'll still support him, make sure that it doesn't like fall.
Tareth goes to touch the stone in your hand and...
"Nice spell work, Grayson."
"What can I say? I heard it happened once and I figured I might as well take precautions against it happening again in the future. Sorry I couldn't do it sooner this time around."
"Well, the magic item is that this one."
And he points at Valen.
"Seems to find and procure is what's calling Lilith to you all. I think it's time we called in that favor."
"What do you need?"
He looks at all of you one by one.
"I want you to kill Lilith."
And that's where we're going to end
this. Let's go, dude. We get to play the fucking demon, dude.
Why doesn't he just kill her for us? Lovers. Hey, guess what, guys?
What?
Pants has the cape.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah, Pants does have the fucking dragon cape.
Let's hope that doesn't bad things from that.
That's going to be hilarious.
I have I've been meaning to, like, I forgot to give it to you, but I got another item that I'm meaning to give to Pants.
The belt.
I'm going to be accessorized.
I've been re-listening to the whole series, and for some reason, when we're all, like, talking together and Pants is talking, like, literally all I can think of is just, like, us being, like, animated in a TV show.
And we're too!
Well, we're all just, like, standing up here, and literally all I can think of is just seeing Pants at the bottom of the screen, like, just his eyes up and just, like, talking and shit like that.
Hell yeah.
And it's just like, excuse me, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
I'm literally like, 2 feet tall.
Like Mike Wazowski covered with the barcode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, his little, and then, like, when he's, like, pointing, you know, like he's literally, like, sitting like this. It's just like, excuse me, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
Yeah.
Like, in every situation, it's fucking hilarious. I don't know why.
And we will go ahead and wrap up the session with that. We appreciate all you folks listening from home, or listening in your cars, or listening when you're doing whatever you're doing. The fact that you enjoy this show and are listening means the absolute world to small creators like us. And if you'd like, we'll ask for 3 more seconds of your time to like this show, give it some 5 stars, give it a nice review. Stuff like that puts us hopefully in the headphones of other folk who will enjoy the show just as much as you. If you want to support us even more, tell a friend about it. Check us out on Patreon, Ko-fi, wherever you want. And with that, may all of your space travels be safe.